Good morning, everyone. Oh, that's much better, much better. How are you all doing today, okay? All right. Well, we have a few announcements here before we introduce our guest here, our guest speaker this morning. So if you're new here and you're physically joining us here for the first or second time, we want to get to know you better and see one of our Connect team members in the back of the church there before you leave today, and we'll have a little gift bag and some goodies for you. And if you're joining us virtually for the first time or second time, like the comment posted so we can get to know you better as well. Faith Kids, in person and online, if you're joining us with your family, we want to invite you each week to join in our Faith Kids experience. It's a wonderful experience, and it's not just because my wife is down there, but it is a wonderful experience for the kids. In person each week, there's an awesome group of adults eager to invest in your children's lives. And for those online, we have an online kids experience for you as well. To get started, we're posting a link in the comments section. Just send that to your child's device for an awesome Jesus-centered content on their level. Faith Kids, the Junction Cafe, which I've experienced many times, and so have you, wonderful coffee and treats, is open every Saturday from 7 to 11. Fireside Fridays are back. We're excited about that, and we need host families. All you need is an outdoor space with a fire pit, and you can sign up as a host in the cafe or via email. It doesn't get any easier than that. You can go to faithchurchvt@gmail.com. And also we have faith men's and women's groups. Start a new in-person program Wednesday, October 12th. You can sign in today in person with the sign-up sheet that's also in the cafe, or online by sending your name and number via email at faithchurchvt@gmail.com. And giving, that's what we're all here to do. We're here to give back to Jesus and our church. Here at Faith, we're always looking for ways to bring heaven to the world going through hell. Mm-hmm. If you're in need of assistance of any type, please contact us at faithchurchvt@gmail.com or call us at 802-823-7828 and leave a message. And we'll do our best to get back to you as soon as possible. We want to continue to offer ways to give to the ministry that we have ongoing and encourage you to use our online giving options so that we have on our website at faithchurchvt.com. Select the Give tab. And for those physically joining us, we encourage you to continue to give online. Although, if you have a physical tithe or offering, there are baskets here in front and in back of the church, stationed around the room, so you can do that before you leave today. So, wanted to thank you all again for attending here today and making us part of your Sunday, whether you're online or in person. Now, please join me in welcoming our special guest speaker for today, Mr. Johnny Fain. Johnny, come on up. Yeah.
Okay, no problem. All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I am so glad to be here. I'm glad to be anywhere. You know, the older I get, the more I'm thankful when my feet can touch the floor. And I enjoy being seen instead of viewed. How about that? So that's just a good thing. Well, this morning, let me tell you a quick story. Kind of take us into our time today. Several years ago, my son and I went deep sea fishing. We didn't live too far from the Gulf of Mexico, and our last trip out deep sea fishing with he and I, boy, it was incredible. We caught a lot of fish, and I can't go and get into some deep, rugged seas normally where the boat's rocking and you're fishing. They call it bottom fishing. I don't do that. I do the trolling fishing, and we catch stuff of that nature. And we went and caught a ton of fish and had a great time. And then we decided to go back out later on, and I went and I called down and got a boat rented and a captain. It was just he and I and my nephew Drew, and we were just going to go, and just the three of us go and spend the day just fishing and catching fish and having fun. And we got out there that morning, and our boat that we were supposed to go on had broken down and couldn't get fixed. And this other captain came in from fishing, and he said, "Hey, I call a thing all day long." And so the people said, "Hey, give us a couple of hours and come back, and we'll give you a little reduced rate, and this captain will take you out." Well, the captain that took me out was the one who said he ain't called anything, and so he took me out. We went out and got out there, but before we left, I noticed the palm trees moving, wind blowing. Well, I said, "Oh, that maybe we'll be okay." We got out and out of the harbor, which was smooth, and got into the open sea. And my goodness gracious, did you ever see the movie The Perfect Storm? Well, I felt like I was in it. The waves were just coming in and just washing over us, and we were trying to fish, troll, and, you know, and the first mate told me, he says, "Listen, I always get the people on my boat to help me. I want them to be a part of this." And I'm thinking, "Buddy, I'm paying you to bait my hook. Why am I kidding?" But he didn't want to get up out of his chair, really, because he knew what was happening. And so we were just getting, and I get seasick. I mean, if you move three or four times this way today, I'll have to stop. I just get nauseated. And the boat was moving, and boat was rocking, and we came by this other boat, and they were just holding on, and I heard the Gilligan Island song being played, you know, and I went to the captain, and I said, "Sir, take us in. He said, no, you've rented the boat. We can catch the fish." I said, "Listen, I paid for this boat, and I'll let you have the rest of the day off. Get me to that shore." And so he turned, and we were going, and the waves were just washing over us. And the greatest sight I've ever seen in my entire life, this is the greatest sight outside of seeing the face of Jesus, is when I saw the harbor. It was so beautiful. And the next greatest time of that day, not only seeing the harbor, but for my foot to set foot on the pier. I said, "Hallelujah." But the scripture came to my mind as I was going through all of that, of what Jesus said over in John chapter 16, verse 33. He said, "You will have tribulations. You're going to go through the storms of life as you sail through life, and you will have tribulations. You don't have to sign up for it. You don't have to go look for it. I promise you, it will find you. Tribulations of all pictures and sizes, of anxiety, of loneliness, and things that your pastor has been sharing with over the past several weeks. But you'll have them. You'll have worries. You'll have burdens placed upon you. You'll have heartaches, headaches. All of these things that are found in a fallen world. I mean, you and I will go through tribulations, no matter how much you spend in the Word or you spend on your face in prayer. You will meet tribulation. You will meet tribulations." Now, your pastor had been dealing with these things for the past several weeks. I noticed some books up here, How to Deal with Anxiety, and other books. And I asked him, I said, "Tell me where you've been." And he told me, and I said, "Well, let me continue on." And so I'm going to share today about an area of tribulation, and then next Sunday, another one. Next Sunday, we'll look at the area of loneliness. What does it mean and how to deal with loneliness? It's not the fact of being alone, but not being satisfied with being alone. How do you deal with that? But today, I want to tell you another story, not only about my perfect storm trip, but about something that happened, and I think it was 1979. There was a set that was on Saturday Night Live. I'm not going to ask you if you watched Saturday Night Live, but back in the old days, it was pretty decent. I don't know what it is now. But there was two guys that were on there. It was Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. You remember them? They formed a group. Remember what the group was? The Blues Brothers, that's right. The Blues Brothers, they had those black hats and they would do this kind of dancing stuff, and you know, they'd be in that thing, and you know, and they actually recorded music. They actually became a real live act. And you know, and everybody kept, wow, that was just incredible, to call the Blues Brothers. Well, the scripture tells us about another group like that. But it was pretty much of a four-man group and many others, but these were the main four guys of this group of the Blues Brothers. And there's guys by the name of Moses, Elijah, Job, and David. And you can throw this other guy in by the name of Jonah. Jonah was part of the Blues Brothers, not because he wanted to, because he rebelled into it. But all of these guys had something in common. All of them were dealing with spiritual blues. You know what they were dealing with? You know what spiritual blues is? It's called depression. You ever been there? Sure, if you're alive, you have. Yeah, the only way to escape it is not to be alive. You will be in it and face it somewhere or another within your life. You'll be there. But often we don't really understand what it really is. Let me give you a definition of what depression is. Depression is this. It is a feeling of sadness and dejection accompanied by a mindset of gloom. Now you feel something and you're thinking something. It is a way of feeling and thinking, feeling extreme discouragement and hopelessness, and feeling having the sense of worthlessness, guilt, and unrealistic grief. You've been there. Depression is something that is universal. It has no boundaries. It hits a person whether they're economically well off or economically depressed. It doesn't matter if you have a PhD or no degree. It hits every person in every standard of life itself. It doesn't depend upon your spiritual life. You can be a preacher and walk through depression. Most preachers that I know have. You can be a great teacher in the scripture and still walk through it. You can have an incredible, great, quiet time and spend hours with the Lord and still walk in the midst of that thing that we called depression. And there's something we need to understand about depression is that depression is not a sin. It is not a sin. Sometimes we get the idea, well, you know, I'm depressed, so therefore, Lord, forgive me for my depression. Because the Bible says I'm to have joy in my life, and I'm to walk with happiness, and I'm to walk as if my feet aren't even touching the ground, and I'm to flow through life. You know, you can have depression and still sense there's still that joy in there, but it's kind of covered. Because he said, my joy will never leave you, it's covered. And often it's covered because of something that you're walking in life. You see, depression is not a sin. It's a symptom of the journey of life, of how you're dealing with it or how it's dealing with you. Because life, either you deal with it and you can deal with it, or it's going to deal with you, but we're in the midst of it, and we're going to carry a lot of that. Just a lot of that weight. We're going to look at that this morning. And I promise you, you don't have to leave today depressed. Well, you might be depressed when you leave. And you might. Because what I'm going to share with you today might not relieve you of any type of depression, but it will allow you and show you how to walk through it. In a moment, we're going to get back together after about a couple, 5-minute break or so. And I want to share with you how one of these Blues Brothers by the name of David dealt with it. Man after God's own heart. How he dealt with it. How he walked with it. And we're going to look at a passage over in Psalm chapter 42 and a touch out of 43. And we're going to gain some insight so that whenever you leave today, you'll have a plan, scriptural plan of how to deal with this symptom that life brings upon you. That whenever you meet that perfect storm, you'll know that there's a harbor waiting for you. Okay, can we do that? And so let's take about a 5-minute time. Then we're going to come back and we're going to show what the scripture teaches us about this wonderful thing and happening that happens in our lives. Let's take a minute or two, okay? Are we open? There we are. Good deal. All right. Well, let's look at the scriptures this morning. Psalm 42. Turn there with me. Psalm 42. David wrote this, or it's the sons, and but yet it was written for him and by him, but it's one of his things. It is in his book. But listen to what he says. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God. In other words, they went to church together. With a voice of joy and praise, I had a wonderful time there with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves, billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? In verse 11, he says, but why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. And then chapter 43, or Psalm 43, down in verse 5, you'll find something very familiar. He says, why are you downcast or cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Well, this is a psalm, really the psalm of the blues. David is in exile in the writing of this psalm. Several times in this passage, he comes back over and over and over and repeated it several times. Why are you downcast? Why are you downcast? You know, why are you so depressed? Why don't you get a life? Why are you acting the way that you're acting? And so he talks to himself like this. The title of this psalm can basically be this. If you wanted to write this in your Bible, you can do this. The title of this song should be The King David Blues. The King, and it's written for church. Can you imagine in a church that had a choir, and you had a program, a bulletin, as most a lot of churches have. They have a bulletin, and it says, Choir Special, The Blues. Man, that would really excite you, wouldn't it? You know, we get to hear about someone being depressed. I mean, it sounds like going to a funeral, you know, a funeral dirge. And the choir will be singing that and be sent talking about how depressed they are and how downcast they are. And I mean, that would really make you just want to get up and cheer and say, praise the Lord. But there are times in life where you just don't want to stand up. No, you do want to stand up, but you can't. And you want to say, praise the Lord, but you can't. And you want to sing with a smile on your face. And as someone up here would probably say, hey, put a great big smile on your face. You said, I want to, but I just can't. Well, that's what this psalm is. And the psalm is just talking about just where he is in his own life. But here's a question we have to ask. If this is a psalm that deals with that idea of being cast down and dealing with depression, and it is a symptom of life, of walking through life, a question is this. What can you do whenever you're depressed? Can I give you one word? Now you need to write this, you need to get this word down. This is probably the most important word you'll hear. You ready? Honesty. Honesty is like the key that goes into the lock of your heart and mind and opens it up. Honesty. Honesty is the key to everything, to coming into Christ. You're honest about where you are before you come into Christ. You're honest about being a sinner without Jesus. Honesty is the key to all of the doors into the life. Honesty opens up the door of faith that allows you to move through everything. Honesty is the key of walking through a time that we would call a time of depression, or walking into these areas of life. It's kind of like, when you're honest, it's kind of like unloading a weight off your body and your heart. And you're able then to cast all your cares upon Him. You see, before you can ever cast a care upon the Lord, you got to be honest about your care. You got to call it what it is. You don't say, Lord, you know all of my cares. No, I need to be honest about what my cares are. Well, Lord, you know I'm not to be anxious, and I'm to cast all that anxiety upon you. Well, tell me, the Lord says, okay, tell me about your anxiety. What are you anxious about? Be honest about it. Well, I'm just depressed. Well, what got you there? Let's just be honest about even getting into it. And so I want to share with you what David said here in this passage, right here, of how to deal with honesty, allowing honesty to be the key that fits into the door that opens the heart and opens the mind, that allows you to walk through those times of depression. Now, you may be here today and you may be going through some depression. You know, chances are over half of you are. If you're not in it today, just wait till tomorrow. Okay? It'll hit you. You know, something, you'll come to a place of saying, does anything ever go right in my life? Like Charlie Brown. You know, Charlie Brown was always ate up with it. But it's real. It's real. How did David deal with it? So let me share with you about three things. I'm a three-point, I think I got three things, maybe four. Maybe five, time I get through with it, I don't know. But three things that you need to understand of how. If you're in it, or you're about to come in it, or down the road, or you know someone that is walking through this time, here's about three, four things that you just need to grab hold of. Here's the first thing. Ready? If you're in depression, David did this. Be honest about yourself. Be honest about yourself. Just you got to take note of yourself. Now, David in this passage is writing to himself. He's writing to himself. He says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pant my soul for you. Oh God, we often have read that passage there in verse 1 and the following, and we've made praise songs out of that passage. But he's not talking about praising. He says, I'm thirsty like a deer that panteth for water. He said, listen, I haven't had a drink from the spiritual fountain and I don't know how long. He said, the fountain's there, but I can't get anything to drink. He said, a deer without water is very thirsty, and I'm very thirsty. But I don't know what to do. He said, I am so thirsty. And he goes on to say, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. But God's not even satisfying my thirst right now. And so David is just being honest and is writing about what is real, what is real within his own life. Before he could ever really write about it, he had to confess it and be honest about it himself. And he had to admit this is what's happening to him. So what do you have to do? First thing is this. You got to be honest about yourself that I am depressed. And you have to say it that way. Confess it. I am depressed. You know what confession is? Confession is an agreement. I am agreeing that this is what's happening. I am agreeing with God that this is what is real and is really what is taking place. And no matter how much I said, you know, if I confess and say I'm depressed, and therefore I will be depressed and I will stay depressed. You know, a lot of name it, claim it idea. People that will have this idea. If I speak it, then therefore I will. Well, you need to speak it because you are. Not because you will, but because you are. When confessing something, admitting something, you're admitting something that is real within your life. If I have sin in my heart, I need to confess it. It's real. I don't need to cover it up, as the scripture says. Don't cover up sin. I need to confess it and admit that something is real and be very honest about it. And it's freeing. Let me tell you another story. I've told you two already, but let me tell you one more. I guess it was about 5 years ago or so. I guess it's about 5-6 years ago or so. I went through about a year and a half of depression. I mean, it's clinical depression. But the thing is that I never would admit it. Oh, I admitted it every once in a while. I went and got some books out of my library about depression, started reading about it, and started trying to figure out what I was and what I wasn't. And the more I read, I would say, well, I am. But then I would read some more, and I would say, I'm not. And who in the world was I going to tell if I was? I'm a Baptist preacher. I tell people how to get happy, how to rejoice in the Lord, how to enjoy life and make the most of it, and to find all of the happiness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do that, and to be the example that if you're involved in the prayer life and in your worship life, it will lift you through all the burdens there is in life. And I said, you know, here's this and here's this. And I was having a hard time. I was going through an incredible hard time at church, incredible hard time. And it was just, the burden of life was just so huge, so great, that it was literally pushing me down. And depression is this, is whenever you are depressed, you're, all the air in your life is out of you. You've been there? All of it. I mean, you're just trying to keep your head above the water to take in enough air to stay afloat a little bit longer. But yet you feel as though you're sinking. And every day you're sinking. And you can read the places and read all the self-help books of how to do this and how to walk through this, but you're still sinking. One night I was in bed and I was reading the biography of a guy that we knew back years and years ago in Fort Worth, Texas, named Ron Dunn. And we sat under Ron's teachings for a long, long, long time out there, and an incredible teacher. And I was reading his biography, and I made a discovery that while we were sitting under him, he was dealing with extreme depression. Extreme depression. He would preach at a conference on a night and go back to his hotel room and say, God, if you don't mind, would you mind taking me on to heaven? That's how depressed he was. He would preach the word with strength and with power, but then he would go back and say, oh, Lord, I don't know if I can make it another day. You know, just one of those times back and forth. And he finally told his wife what was happening, and she said, you need to go see somebody, you know, and go check it to see if it's a chemical imbalance, because that can happen. That happens. And so he set up an appointment with a doctor, with a psychiatrist on the other side. He lived in outside of Dallas. On the other side of Dallas, he set an appointment up with a doctor. And so he said he walked in the psychiatrist's office. He had, now this is back in the 70s, and he said he walked in, and he had a coat turned up, had his cap over his eyes, and had sunglasses on. He didn't want anybody to recognize him, because no one wanted to go to a psychiatrist's office back in those days anyway. No one wanted you to think that someone thinks that they were crazy, losing it. For some reason, you go to a heart doctor, no one, people will pray for you and feel sorry for you. But if you go to a psychiatrist or somewhere where you're having to deal with something that's dealing with the mind, oh, you've lost it. Well, he had that mentality, and he walked in that doctor's office, you know, signed his name real small, and went and sat in the corner, got a magazine, and put in front of his face so nobody could see him. And he was sitting there, and Ron was only about that tall, and he was sitting there with a magazine in front of his face with a pair of sunglasses on in an office with a cap over his, almost to his eyes, with the jacket turned up, sitting in the corner. And they called his name out, and he said, "Oh no, they called my name out. Everybody here's gonna know I'm crazy." And he walked in. He said, "Well, in here, nobody will know me. Nobody will know me. I'm on the other side of Dallas." And he was sitting there, and he had already taken his coat off. And the doctor came in. It happened to be one of his church members. And he came in, and he said, "Brother Ron," and he said, "Yes, Doctor So and So." And the doctor said, "Ron, you can take your glasses off and you can take your cap off. It's okay." And they began talking, and Ron began talking, and found out he went through and had some chemical. He did. His son had the same issue. Two of his kids had the same issue of a chemical imbalance that needed medication. But yet, everything else was just compounding it. And he admitted, you know, "Hey, I am depressed." First time he admitted it. I read that. I was reading that night. I was reading that part of the book. And it said, well, Ron admitted he was depressed. And the Lord told me, he said, "Johnny, admit it. Will you just go ahead and get over it and say, you are depressed? Will you go ahead and say it?" And I said to myself, I said, "Self, you're depressed." Myself had a wonderful time. It really did. It said, "I am finally free." You know, I'm still depressed, but I'm free because I'm hearing myself say what I am. And I didn't even have to hide it from myself and play a game with myself. I was just free about who I was and what was happening. I yelled out to Debbie. I said, "Debbie," and I said, "I just read this wonderful thing from Ron's book and about his depression." And I said, "I want you to know I am depressed." And she said, "I've been knowing that for a long time." And I said, "But I am. Hallelujah. You know, I am depressed." But the thing that happened in it was that I admitted it and got honest. I had to be honest with myself. You see, when you're honest with yourself, now don't think I'm crazy. I'm not too crazy, just a little off, but not too far off. When you begin to be honest with yourself, don't just think honesty to yourself, say it. Do you see what David did here in this passage? He said in verse 5, he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" Why are you disquieted within me? Be honest with yourself and tell yourself that. It's called self-talk. It's okay to talk to yourself. Just don't answer yourself, but it's okay to talk to yourself. But you can't answer it. You ever ride down the road and you see somebody pull beside you, you know, and they're just talking away or whatever. You think they're singing, but really they're just talking to themselves maybe. And I ride down the road now and I just start talking to myself. I don't have anybody else to talk with. Might as well talk to me. You know, at least I'll agree with me sometimes, you know, and we'll talk about what I want to talk about. So we can just ride and talk. But you talk to yourself. Let me tell you what happens. Whenever you begin to admit to yourself what's in here and you begin to say it, you say it, and guess what happens? You're going to hear what you're saying. You hear what you're saying. And you need to hear what you're confessing. That's why it's important to read scripture out loud, to quote it out loud, that you can hear it. Once it goes into the ear, then it can come back into the heart. Then things begin to happen. I confess it. I agree. This is what's happening in my life. I am able then to hear it, and I'm able to receive it back into my life. And it's the truth. It's the truth about me. Be honest with yourself. Don't be afraid of that. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Soul, David, he would say, "David, why are you so cast down? Why are you like this? What's going on in your life?" Just be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Now, husbands and wife, if you're at home and you hear your husband or you hear your wife talking to themselves, don't worry about it. Okay, they're not crazy. But you need to hear yourself. Pray out loud is important. Reading scripture out loud is important. Get to hear it. Confessing what is real around you is important so you can see what's happening down here. That is so important. Here's the second thing you need to grab hold of. The second thing is this. You need to be honest about your feelings. David was sharing all of his feelings in this passage. There in verse 3 and 4, he says, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, 'Where is your God?'" And then he says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God." David's sharing all of his feelings, and he says, "You know, I feel like I've been in a desert. If I feel like I've lost my way. I tried to get near to God, but when I try to get near to God, it seems as though God is so far away from me." You ever been there? I mean, you try and you do everything in the world to get near to God, but the closer you think you're getting to God, the farther it seems that you are from Him. And you're still in darkness. I mean, you come to church and you leave the same way that you came in, and you feel the darkness coming in, and you leave with that same darkness. You say, "Well, it must not have been an exciting service." No, there's nothing happening exciting in here. That's what David is talking about. He says, I even go with the multitude to church. I used to go with the multitude. And we'd go into the house of the Lord, and we would sing with joy and with praise. And that's what he says in verse 4. With a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. We used to go and eat together and hang out together and sing together. He says, I don't even want to go to church. You been there? Man, I've been there, and I pastored 41 years, and every day I didn't want to go to church. She made me. She says, "I want to live. If you don't go, we don't get paid." I said, "I guess I better go to church, you know." But there are days you just don't want to do that. And then you feel that way, and the enemies or people that are kind of pointing fingers at you begin to say, "Hey, you know, what about, where's your God in all of this? You're supposed to be the happy one in life. Where's your God in this?" That's what David says. He says, "I'm going through all of these things. I'm going through all of these things." He said, "I'm crying. My tears are here. I'm walking through all of these things in life. All of these things in life. But somehow things just aren't connecting." You know what David's doing by writing all this stuff here? He is being honest about his feelings. "I just don't feel right. I just didn't feel good in church. I left the same way as I came in." Just be honest with your feelings. You know, I'm not talking about putting a guilt trip on yourself. I'm just talking about just being honest with where you are. But yet by doing this, you're not allowing your feelings to control you, and you're putting your feelings in their rightful place. Because you know feelings, hey, I don't feel good, but I know I'm with the Lord. I know I did what I am to do. I am to go to the place of worship, whether I feel like it or not. It's good for me to be in the house of the Lord, whether I feel like it or not. I need the community of the body of Christ, whether I feel like it or not. I don't let my feelings control my obedience. Whether you're depressed or not, obedience is still the standard. And the Lord understands and gives grace in the midst of that, but it's still the standard. I need it, but I have to be honest about how I'm feeling. You know, I'm not going to allow my feelings to control me. But I still have tears in my eyes. And I still have loneliness and hurt in my heart. And I'm still walking with a dark cloud over my head. But I know I'm still walking with God, but all this is happening. My quiet time is in check. I mean, I'm right with others. I'm in check and all those things, but there's that cloud still holding over me. But my feelings, I don't need to control me. Here's another thing you need to be honest with. Be honest about your cause. What caused it? what's caused me to be in this situation or to walk into the circumstance that I'm walking under? Let me give you just a list. I'm just going to mention them. You just need to get these things down. Here's some causes of it. And this is the cause of Moses, Elijah, Job, and David. All of them had these things in common where they walked under some physical hard times. Physical weights were upon them. Paul went through that, shipwrecked so many times, beaten so many times, in prison so many times. But the physical exhaustion will lend itself, can tip the scale into depression. We're going to work till Jesus comes. That's that old Baptist mentality. We're going to work and take Geritol till Jesus comes. If you're too young to know what Geritol was, ask somebody older. They'll explain it to you. But we're going to work. And what happens? Man, here he comes. You get off that spiritual high. And then what happens? You fall off the cliff and you get into depression and you think you got to repent again. And sometimes it may be just plain out physical exhaustion. Do you know you can work too much? You can overwork. Man is made to work, but not made to work 24 hours a day. There's a time for a rest. There's a time for a Sabbath rest, the scripture says. But physical endurance, physical exhaustion was there. Moses went through it. He had to lead 2 million people. Elijah, after the battle of there with the prophets there, Mount Carmel. What an incredible time. And he had to run from Jezebel. You know, he was running and he said, oh God, I've run. And God, will you just please go ahead and kill me? He was physically exhausted. What did God do? God allowed him to sleep and fed him, sleep and feed over and over and over while he got his rest and his body could get built back up. But sometimes you just need to take a day off. And you'll be surprised what can come back into you. You know, have some fun one day and you'll be surprised. Now that's nothing deep and spiritual, but it is. Because God has given you that sense and has given you that opportunity. But there's that emotional burden that's upon a person. That emotional where you feel all the weight. All the weight. You feel so responsible that if you don't do it, no one's going to get it done. And you feel so much and after a while you just can't handle it. Over in the 11th chapter of Numbers, read that about Moses. And Moses had all the weight and the people were hungry and they were complaining about everything. And he went to God. He said, God, why did you put me into this situation? And this is even more than I can bear. I can't bear this any longer. And he was about up to here. He had already written his letter of resignation, I think, in the 11th chapter of Numbers. He was ready to get out of it. I can't do this anymore. You ever thought about that about life? Yeah, people have. They carry so much of a burden, so much of a weight, and they just can't do it any longer. They can't. But there's another areas there. It may be a spiritual, go through spiritual dryness. Spiritual dryness. What in the world, spiritual dryness? I have the Word of God and read all this. Yeah, but what is this? Are you allowing that Word to take root in you? Did you know that you can do so much for God that you can't consume the presence of God? Because you don't sit still long enough to fellowship with Him. We'll work till Jesus comes. And you begin to get that spiritual dryness where you're giving out more than you're taking in. You're giving out more. That's why your quiet time is so important, your time with God. If you don't have a time with God, you're going to give out more. And I'll tell you, eventually you're going to run out of gas. And you're going to hit a spiritual wall of dryness. And then quite often what people do, they say, wow, I'm so spiritual dry. And I guess what I need to do is go back to church. No, what you need to do is just slow down and stop for a moment and get filled up again. Because whether you realize it or not, you leak. The spiritual life leaks out because of of all the pressures of the world in which you're living in by the flesh. And you can get spiritually dry. Sitting in church, you can be spiritually dry. Preaching from a pulpit, you can be spiritually dry. And man, depression hits you. Those things can come about you there. But here's something else. One of the causes can be the attitude, it's all up to me. Moses said that there in that 11th chapter. People were expecting him to perform with the bread and all the meat. You know, everything was about Moses. Moses, if you don't do it, we're sunk. Elijah had that same idea. He said, I'm the only prophet you have, God. The attitude that everything was up to him. You ever feel that way? Everything is up to you. Another thing, unrealistic expectations. You know, Moses said, where am I going to get all this food to feed 2 million people, God, middle of nowhere? You know, unrealistic. Maybe your expectations may be so high that you'll never be able to achieve them. Unrealistic. It can be the area where your critical attitude from friends and others. David dealt with that in the 42nd chapter. Critical attitudes where people are criticizing you and you're just being hit by darts constantly. Criticism's coming along you. You know, a husband and wife, a husband can drive a wife to depression, a wife can drive a husband to depression. If you're critical of one another. Church people can come together in a situation like this and be times somebody can come in not being depressed, can leave depressed. Why? They may get critical darts thrown at them. And you don't know when that one dart is the one that sends someone to depression. You don't know. That's why we have to be careful what we say to one another. So blindness need to be honest. Well, you need to be talk to the Lord before, because the Lord knows the heart. You need to ask the Father, how much do you need to share? But those things can begin to deal more. Spiritual warfare brings it on. When you're dealing with the spirit of darkness, that is there. Job had to deal with that. But spiritual warfare, when the enemy comes against you, can push you down into depression. You know, leave a prayer time depressed. You can. You can. Or it can be something that is physical, biological. Or it's a chemical imbalance that can cause you. That's where you need to go get checked out by a doctor to see what is happening in you. You might need medication that something's not firing, like it's not firing in the heart, not firing in the kidneys. It may not be firing well in the lungs. You know, it can be not firing up here too. And that's okay. That's okay. You know, it's okay. But here's something else. Be honest with your hope. And we're going to end with this one. Just be honest with your hope. Hey, you have hope. You really do. You got to know who your hope is and where your hope comes from. You see, all of these men that I mentioned that are part of the Blues Brothers, Moses, Elijah, David, Job, even Jonah knew this. They knew where their hope was. They knew their hope was in the Lord God. That's why he kept going to the Lord. That's why he kept wanting to go to church, but he couldn't find joy. He wanted to go there. His hope was in God. And he said there in verse 5 of that passage, he says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Self, as if I was talking to me, Johnny, you know, man, you're going through a tough time and it's dark right now. But listen, Johnny, hold on. Hope in God. Hold on. And David knew that, because the more he would confess that and be honest about it, he knew that help was coming. He knew that help was coming. Hope in God is coming. Hope in God. The Lord's going to deliver you from this eventually. He will. And he said, the things of God won't deliver me from it, but God will. In verse 4, he talks about the things of God. Listen, the things of God will not deliver you from depression. Well, I'm depressed, so I guess I just need to go to church and that'll get me out of it. No, it won't. Just tell you. You'll cry through it. Well, I just need to read a better book or read more of the Bible. Maybe I just need to memorize half of it, half the Bible a week. You know, I got to do something. Got to do something that is good. And those are good things to do. Don't misunderstand me. But David said, listen, the things of God will not deliver me from where I am. Only God can do that. Only God. This is a God-sized deal within my life. Only God can deliver me from where I am. Remember Moses in the 11th chapter of Numbers? He didn't go in to everybody and say, okay, we got to gather ourselves together. He went to the Father and he said, God, listen, What are you going to do? Elijah, God, what are you going to do? And David, hoping God. He's the hope that I have. He's the only hope. The only hope that I have in my life. Why? Well, there's some reasons for that. Well, because God owns my life. My life belongs to Him. So therefore, He needs to do something in me. And He stated that in verse 8. He says, the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God. Listen, to the God of my life. My life belongs to Him. And so, God, I'm in depression right here. And so, Lord, You've got a problem. And to God, it's not a problem. But Lord, if I'm going to walk through this and get out of it, it's going to be with You. It's going to be Your light that's going to guide me through. My life belongs to You. And Lord, not only does my life belong to You, Lord, but I've come to this understanding that my problems belong to You also. All this weight that I have on my shoulder, Lord, that's Yours. Did you notice how he put it in here? And it's hard to grab it whenever you just begin to just kind of read it. But he talks about the waves coming over in verse 7, about the deep calls into deep at the noise of Your waterfalls. All Your waves and billows have gone over me. He said, Lord, You know those waves that are crashing in on me and washing me to the shore and just knocking me down over and over? I want You to know, Lord, I know where they're coming from. They're Yours. I don't know what You're doing with all of that, but those are Your waves. In other words, obstacles that come into my life, I'm not going to put the blame on anyone else, Lord. I'll just say, by Your sovereignty, these things are coming into my life to do something for me in my life, because all things work together for good of those who know Him. So, Lord, so therefore, if all these things that I'm encountering are coming against me, Lord, I am, because of Your sovereignty, I just count them, every one, to be a blessing, that You're going to do something with them that's going to make me more like Jesus. And even though the obstacles of my life, they belong to You too. So literally, Lord, everything in my life belongs to You. Everything. Lord, my future belongs to You. So where I'm going to go, Lord, belongs to You. In verse 11, He says, I shall yet find help in Him. I shall yet find help in Him. Oh, everything in my future belongs to You. Everything. He says, I can't praise God right now, but I will. I will. Lord, I'm having a hard time being thankful, but I will. That's freeing, isn't it? The Lord understands and knows where I am. And I know that my hope's in Him. And I know one day I will praise Him again. It might not be tomorrow. And it might not be next week. But one day, I'm going to come through this. I'm going to get through this. It's not going to stay with me forever. I will get through it. My hope is in You. You say, why in the world am I going through all of this? Can I give you a little, I don't know all the purpose, and I know it's to make you more like Him, depending on Him, but just situations of life. But here's something that is, when you go through depression, it closes your life down. It slows you down. And sometimes we have to have something to stop us in our track so that we can be realigned as we need to go. And God will allow all of these billows and all of these waves and all these waterfalls to fall upon us, sometimes to stop us and to say, Lord, You're my Lord God. I've been going my own way, doing my own thing, thinking my own ways, expecting my own things too. Now, Lord, what's Your way? What do You want? Lord, set the priority of my life over again. It gives You time to realign everything. So is depression all bad? No. No. God uses it. God uses it to slow you down, to get your priorities in order again, to allow you to get some rest, and to be still and know that He is God. Did David, did he get through it after he got through writing the 42nd chapter? Nah. No. 43rd chapter came up and he used the same words. He said, but I hope in you, Lord. Not there yet. It's coming. You're teaching me some things in the middle of it. I'm coming through it. I am. But Lord, I'm still connected to you. The New Testament teaches this over in Romans chapter 8. He says, nothing will separate me from God. Nothing. Principalities, powers, situations, heartaches, none of it will. Not even depression. Just because you walk through depression doesn't mean you're separated from God and God's cast you away. Really, God is closer to you than you think. Because even in your darkness, the darkness is made light to Him. It's not dark to Him, it's light to Him. And He is in the very midst of where you are. The very midst of it. I mean, that year and a half I went through it, it was tough. But you know what? Looking back at it now, if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be doing this, what I'm doing today. I wouldn't be. God uses your suffering for His glory. Hope in God. He states it very well. He says, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you so disquieted in me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him. The help of my countenance and my God. You can knock me down, but I'm getting back up. Life can slap me in the face, but I'm still walking. The sun will come up tomorrow morning. And guess who's in the sun? God is. But it's dark right now, but guess who's in the darkness? God is. So if you're walking through that right now, hey, just be honest where you are. Be honest with the cause where you are. Be honest with your feelings. Don't let it dictate your life. And be honest with your God. He's yours. And He hasn't left you. Never, ever, ever will. You hold on. Keep walking. And you're gonna come through that cloudy day. And you're going to see the light. And the joy will return once again. Will you pray with me? Let's just bow for a moment. And if you're in that situation right now, right now, just be honest with the Lord. But be honest about the cause. What's causing it? What brought it on in you? And you might be able to put your finger on it, but ask the Lord if you don't know. What's causing it? It may be as it was with Jonah. Jonah ran from God. That's why he got depressed. Are you running from Him? Is there an area in your life that God is calling you to move into and you're refusing it and just don't want to do it and the life of you has come out? Rebellion will cause depression. That's where you confess it as sin then. But why? Why are you there? Let Him show you. If you don't know Christ, and you're depressed, listen, He is a light. The way to walk through it in any way in life is through Him. Because you can see Him. He'll never leave you. Never forsake you. Ever. His love is always there for you. And this morning you can give your life to Him and receive Him into your life by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. I need your light. I need your light in me and around me. I need you. You're my hope. I need hope. I need you. And give your life to Him. In Christ, you are my hope, O God. You are my hope. Confess it out loud. You are my hope, O God. And one day I will praise you again. If you know of someone that's walking through depression, pray for them. Be patient with them. Love them. You can't fix it. Just be there. Just be there and love them. Greatest thing you'll do just be there and love them. So, Father, we just fall before you, Lord, as people who walk in a world that is tough, is hard. And, Lord, sometimes we get things in our mind of what we need to do, and we kind of get ahead of you. And we don't allow you to guide us and lead us. We go ahead and get ahead of you. And therefore, Lord, we live by our own strength and not yours, and we get tired. But Lord, you want us to walk in your strengths, but also to walk in your way. And so, Father, may we hear you. I pray, Lord, if there's someone here today, and I'm sure there are many here and watching that are dealing with some depression. And Lord, I'm sure, Father, that they're wondering, will they ever get out of it? Well, they will. Open their eyes to see you, Lord. Just manifest your light into their life. And let you just be God. Let you be all that they need, because you are all that they need. And just love them. And may they allow you to love them, and may they just stay obedient. So, Father, your love we need every day. And we bless you, Lord. We bless you. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.